You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Thank you, David, and thank you, Jordan and the worship team. They just did an amazing job. Give them a huge round of applause. Yeah. You know, I'm always encouraged that every time we gather here on the weekend, we gather with the purpose to sing to Jesus. We gather as the family of God to worship Him, because during the week, we're meeting our small groups, we're trying to keep following Jesus, and we know there are ups and downs. But the wonderful thing about a Sunday is we get to come here and we say, this is priority and this is important, and I'm going to worship Jesus with my fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. And to have such an amazing creative team who prayerfully considers what songs to help us sing and worship the Lord, it's a joy. You know, I preach around churches where sometimes they don't have a band like this, and we must never take Jordan and his team for granted. When you see them after service, encourage them. Say, hey, you know what, I was really encouraged with the worship. Thank you so much for setting time aside to gather here, you know, on Tuesday night to rehearse. Thank you so much. And pray for them. Keep praying for them. Amen. Keep praying for one another. It's always a joy to open up the Word of God. Last week I was preaching away, and Guy Hing, I don't know whether he's Guy Hing here. Yes, he's at the back. Yes, Guy Hing did a phenomenal job. You give him a round of applause. Yeah. Unpacking. You notice when I'm away, I usually give the very, very tough passages to the preachers, right? I'm only here when the passages are easy, right? Anyhow, Guy Hing did a wonderful job, and I heard from many reports that they were encouraged. So Guy Hing, thank you so much for praying. Thank you so much for wrestling with the text and using and letting God use you to minister to us. And I'm very sure that every one of us here, we were so blessed and encouraged with your teaching. So keep up the great work. Thank you so much, brother. This morning here, I get to unpack chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. Now, we should know by now, it's a pastoral letter. Yeah, so an older, wiser man by the name of Paul, he writes this beautiful letter of encouragement. It's also a letter of warning. It's a letter to help a younger pastor, his protege by the name of Timothy. Timothy is leading a church in Ephesus. Paul is locked away, and he knows that his time is coming to an end. So inspired by the Holy Spirit, he writes this letter to Timothy. At chapter 1, if you can remember, chapter 1, Paul encourages Timothy to keep preaching the doctrine. Yeah, keep preaching good, sound, solid doctrine. At chapter 2, he reminds Timothy what it looks like when we gather for worship, what the church looks like when they come to worship. Last week, chapter 3, the importance of pastoral leadership in the church. And this week, in chapter 4, he says, Timothy, you're the leader, and this is how you ought to lead the church. This is what the church, the household of God, ought to look like. And so in this chapter, there are three things I want you to consider with me concerning leading the household of God. So they are what we do not or don't want to see in the household of God, what we don't want to see. And number two, what we want to see. What we want to see in the household of God. And number three, what we can all be in the household of God. So that's where we're going this morning. What we don't want to see in the household of God. So at Sun Life Church, we don't want to see this. Number two, what we want to see in the household of God. This is the thing that we're kind of encouraged to see take place here. And what we can all be in the household of God. That's where I'm going. So let me pray, and then you can find 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's invite God to be our great teacher. Lord, I pray now that as I teach your word, as always, God, will you be our great teacher? Holy Spirit, will you teach us wonderful things? May we leave this morning knowing what the household of God ought to look like. So would you help me as your servant teach your word well? Will you help every one of us to be attentive? Will you open our ears and our hearts and our minds to receive your word? May we not just be hearers, but also doers of your word. Help us to leave this morning transformed for your glory and the good of those around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You can also open up the church app as well, because the church app, we have the passage there and also some notes. So what we don't want to see. Now, maybe parents with teenagers, have you ever been in a situation when you walk into their room and it's like ground zero? There's clothes everywhere. And we're not just talking about clean clothes. It could be dirty clothes. It could be clothes they wore that morning, but you see clothes on their bed, on their desk, on the floor. And then you look around the room, you see food wrappings everywhere. Food wrappings on their bed, on their desk, on the floor. Never. Or you see empty soft drink cans on their beds, on their desks, on the floor. And I'm pretty sure I'm just exaggerating, because it never happens. It never happens, right? But most parents, when you enter into your child's room and you see that state, there are usually four words that come out of your mouth. Four words. Clean up your room. Is that right? You may have a bit of a variation to the end of those four words. It may go a bit like clean up your room now. You may add that as a variation. Or you may have clean up your room, you disgusting child. Or clean up your room or move out. Now, obviously, I'm just only exaggerating, because as godly Christian parents, we would never say those things to our children, right? I'm pretty sure all household, we have standards. We have certain things that we say we want to see and things we don't want to see. And most parents would agree that we do not want to see a messy room, yeah? Well, Paul, he says to Timothy, this is what you do not want to see in the household of God. Take note, Timothy. Do not allow this to creep into God's family. Look in verses 1 and 2. Paul says this, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, clearly. So in other words, there's a revelation from the Spirit of God to Paul. He says the Holy Spirit clearly says that in later times, when we see later times in the Bible, it means in this time. So when Paul wrote this, he's saying to Timothy, in your time, and prophetically in our time. So it's in our time. He says in later times, some people in the church will abandon, your translation, turn away, walk away, abandon the faith. Some people in the church will turn away from the faith, follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come from hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared as with an hot iron. So what he's saying right here is that there'll be some people who will turn away from the faith. And I personally think in my study that this does not mean that some people in the church have turn away from the faith and have lost their salvation. I don't believe that's what it means. I'll briefly say this, that we know the Bible is very, very clear that salvation is a free gift from God. All right? Salvation is God's kindness, that He gives us this free gift. Salvation, our salvation, is only through grace and faith. It's the kindness of God. If our salvation is conditional, if our salvation is conditional, I get it. We can lose our salvation if we mess up, if it's conditional. But I believe in Scripture that our salvation is not conditional. It's not based on what we have done or what we will do, but it's only conditional on the work of Jesus. And if Jesus has done everything, therefore I believe that my salvation is completed. That it's done by Jesus, and if God is a good and just and faithful God, and He's given me the gift of salvation, why would a good and faithful and just God take it away? He won't, and he can't. Therefore, I believe the text here talks about people who, because they've listened to certain people in the church, they have turned away from the faithful teaching of Scripture. All right? They've turned away from sound doctrine. They've listened to someone and said, oh, I like what you're saying, and I disagree what Timothy's been saying. And what Timothy's been teaching is not true, but what you're teaching is true. Therefore, I've turned away from the faith. Whether they've lost their salvation or not, I'm not sure. Whether they are believers or not, I'm not sure. But that's not the point. The point is this: when a fellow Christian turns away from the faith, it's a sad day. It's a very, very sad day. And look what Paul would say. He says they've been misled by some false teachers. He calls them what? Liars. He calls them liars. They're agents of Satan because their teaching comes from the demon. Here's the thing, friends. When the teaching is no longer based on Scripture, when the teaching is no longer from the Bible, it's no longer from the Spirit of God. Therefore, it's from another spirit. And there's only another spirit, the spirit of Satan, demonic spirits. And so what Timothy's been warned is that any teaching that is not from the text, from the Bible, is from another spirit. And these teachers here, they've been seared, all right? In other words, with a hot iron. In other words, they've been desensitized from the truth of God's text, from the truth of the Bible. And they're misleading all these Christians in the church. Look what they've been saying in verse 3. See, these people forbid the people in the church to marry. They're saying, don't get married. They order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. They're saying, if you want to be spiritual, don't get married, don't eat certain food. The thought back then was this, is that anything to do with the flesh, right, is evil. So every time you satisfy the flesh, it's evil, it's bad, it's ungodly, it's not from God. So stop doing anything that satisfies the flesh. And so what these teachers were saying was this, that if you get married, you're given the gift of sex. That satisfies the flesh. Evil. Don't get married. You eat certain food, it satisfies your hunger, the flesh. Evil. Don't do that. That was the teaching in the church back then. And I read this and I go, wow, that's so wrong. But if you're not careful, that teaching is coming into the church. Look what Paul would say in verses 4, 5, and 6. He says, for everything God created is good. Everything God created is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it is to receive with thanksgiving. In other words, pray. Verse 5, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. In other words, tell them, teach them, everything God's created is good. Be thankful, pray, it's good. Nourish on the truth of the faith and the good teaching that you have followed. He says, everything that you know comes from God is good. Don't reject it. That's why I read this, and I had someone from my Connect group message me late last night. He says, Pastor, do you love durian? I love durian. I know to my fellow durian lovers, there have been times where you feel crucified because people think that durian is evil. Durian is bad. It should not be in existence. Hold claim to the promises of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, for everything God created is good. Amen. Highlight that part of the Bible. If you ever feel condemned, you just flick them to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. Everything, even durian, is good. Amen. Just pray and be thankful. But here's the thing. We have to be very careful who we listen to and what we listen to. We live in a day and age where we can podcast and listen to whatever we want online, just because it sounds right, just because it feels right, young people, everyone, it doesn't mean it's from the Word of God. We have to be very, very careful. just because it sounds right and it feels right and everyone says this is right, it doesn't mean it's from the Word of God. It doesn't mean it's from the Spirit of God. It could be from another spirit. In fact, Paul would remind Timothy one last time before he died, because he would write 2 Timothy, the second letter, his final letter, and look what he writes in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. You know, what we don't want to see at Sun Life Church, in the household of God, is confusion because of wrong doctrine. We do not want the teachings of the world to come into this place here and cause confusion among us and causing some of us to stumble and fall and turn away from the faith. I am hearing some very scary things out there. And I really hope that some of the people who are podcasting this stone here, because they're my good friends and some great leaders and pastors in the city of Perth, but I am hearing some very scary theology from some friends of mine who I really think they need to study the Word of God carefully. One of my good friends believe that we will all meet Jesus one day, every one of us. In other words, it doesn't matter who you place your faith and your hope in this life, God is so kind, God is so good that He will allow everyone to be saved. That's universalism. That's a heresy. The Bible is very clear. There's only one way to the Father, and that way is through Jesus. But I have friends, pastors, leading churches who has a theology that it doesn't matter who you place your faith in. Allah, Buddha, Muhammad. Because God is so kind, why would He let people perish in hell forever? And in the kindness and the grace of God, He will save everyone. And I love these friends of mine, and we talk at a theological level. But I won't be surprised in this generation or the generation to come, some of those teachings will come into the church. We do not want to see false teachings in the church. We do not want to see people come on stage and preach out of their charisma and energy and not be true to the Word of God, because that will cause confusion in the household of God. And for some, they will turn away from the true biblical teaching of the text. As your pastor, as your leader, I am forever committed to hold firm to the Bible, to hold firm to the gospel, to hold firm to the faith, to hold firm to our Savior. We do not want to see anyone turn away from the faith because of poor teaching. That's the first thing that Paul says to Timothy. Make sure no one turn away because of false teaching. So what do we want to see? What do we want to see here? Well, we need to look at verses 7 to 11. He says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. It is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially to those who believe. Command and teach these things. Do you want to know the short answer? What we want to see here? And then we'll move to part three. You want to know the short answer? Here's the short answer. Hit the gym. Hit the gym. Everyone, join the gym. Have a gym membership. That's it. Okay? Because in verse 7, verse 8, there is a Greek word which we don't see in the English. It's the word gymnazo or gymnazo. Now take a guess what we render that word in English to be. Gymnasium, right? In verse 7, verse 8, Paul says, what we want to see at Sun Life Church, all right, prophetically, what we want to see here is everyone hit the gym membership. Hands up those who are part of the gym. Great, great. Okay, point number three. Here we go. I'm only joking, right? He says this. He says, reject silly teachings, those myths, those godless myths. Reject them. The church have nothing to do with them. But now be active and train your body into godliness. He uses the analogy of someone hitting the gym. All right. The honest truth is if you want to build your muscle mass, if you want to build strength, have more stamina, have more endurance, it doesn't happen sipping a latte on a couch whilst watching the footy. It does not happen. All right. You've got to do what? You've got to go to the gym. You've got to work on it. You've got to be consistent. You've got to be persistent. And it's going to take some time for you to grow in the strength. But he says this, right? He says, those who are training up the physical body, it's only of some value. Is that right? That's what the text says. Oh, I was so encouraged when I read this. Because I know, right, in winter, it's very dark in the morning. And it's very, very cold in the morning. And there are mornings where I say, I cannot be bothered hitting the gym. I don't want to leave the comfort of my bed. And again, like, you know, the Durian verses, I hold promises to this verse here that the physical in the body is only of some value. So for anyone here this morning, if you ever feel condemned because you've missed a gym session, a Pilates session, a yoga session at 6 a.m. in the morning because winter is cold and dark, it's okay. Physical training is only of some value, all right? Some value. But there is something of greater value. He says, there's something that has value in this life and the life to come. And he says, it's trustworthy. Accept it. And what he says? He says, train your body in godliness. Is that right? You know, 8 times he uses the word godliness in this letter. This is the first time Paul would use the word godliness in all his writing. And it seems like he saved it to the very, very end. 8 times in this letter, he says, godly, be godly. The word godliness comes from 2 words, God, likeness. God, likeness. The household of God must be like God. We must think like God. We must behave like God. We must love like God. We must be godly. Here's the thing. It doesn't happen overnight. Every one of us need to understand that if you want to be more like God, if you want to behave more like God, that we all have to start training ourselves into godliness. We have to be consistent. We have to be persistent if we want to see godliness in this church here. The sad thing, let me be honest with you, the sad thing is this, the world, all right, the world encourages us to look after the physical. For some of you who have gym membership, I don't know, but they say a typical gym membership ranges from $600 to $1,000 per year. And that's the cheap membership. That's the 24/7 where there's no support staff. So when you injure yourself, there's no one there to help you. That's the cheap one. If you go for the fancy one, the one where there's a sauna and there's a lot of beautiful people around, right? All right, you're paying up to $3,000. Is that right? And some of you are smiling because that's what you're paying. Good on you. There's nothing wrong with that, all right? You've got to hit the gym. To make the most of the gym, they say you've got to spend at least, what, 4 times a week? 5 times a week? Is that right? And every time you're in the gym, you've got to spend at least, what, 45 minutes? Yeah, you've got to do your maths, right? You know, my wife and I, we have a gym membership. We do our number crunching. If we don't go to the gym at least 3 to 4 times, we've wasted our money. So the weeks that I only go once because it's cold and it's winter, oh dear, it's a wasted week. But if my wife does it 5 times, great, she's saving money, good. I wish she did it 7 times so she can make up for my mistake, right? Right? But here's the thing. We can spend up to 45 minutes or even an hour a day in the gym. And we struggle to spend 1 minute with God. We struggle to spend 1 minute in the Word of God. We have no problems splashing out thousands of dollars to have a gym membership. But we would not spend money to invest in the spiritual. to train into godliness. And that's what Paul is saying right here. In the household of God, this place here, this must be a training ground for people to train into godliness. That we here must train the spiritual. If the word of God is true, if the word of God is accurate, and if what Paul is saying is trustworthy, that physical strength, physical training is only of some value, but the spiritual training has value in this life and the life to come. Surely we have to reassess what we're doing with our lives. Surely we have to consider that maybe there are areas that we need to work on. And I'm not here to condemn anyone. I'm not here to point fingers. What I'm saying is that this place here, the household of God, we have to be a training ground so that everyone here, we are building up the spiritual body, that we are growing in our godliness. Therefore, we have to continue to come here every weekend. Every weekend, I encourage you to be regular with worship. Come to sing songs with your fellow brothers and sisters. And if we see someone in our community that's away, follow them up. Don't go, well, that's the leader's job. You follow them up. You call them up, say, I miss you. Where were you? There was something about not worshiping without you being there. Are you okay? How can I pray for you? How can I minister for you? Follow them up. We can be regular in our Bible readings. Maybe you find it very, very tough, but find an accountability partner. Someone you say, for the rest of this year, the second half of this year, from June to December, you and me, let's be accountable buddies. Let's read the Bible together. Let's follow our Bible reading plan. Let's call each other during the day and see, did we read the Bible? Did we spend time in the Word of God? Find someone to help you. Join a connect group. Don't do life by yourself. This church is getting larger. Find a community where there's 10, 15 people who would help you, who would serve you, and you can serve them, who would pray for you, and you can pray with them. Find a community. What about prayer? Be part of prayer. We have prayer Saturday morning, Zoom. Or maybe find a few people in your community that you can pray together. In your connect group, message through your chat. How can I pray for you this week? How can I pray for you this day? Have prayer buddies. Pray, pray, pray. Youth group. You know, if your friends are not coming to youth group, you can follow them up, youth. Hey, I miss you on Friday. Where were you? Can I pray with you this week? Can I encourage you? All those intentional action will only train for godliness. And I believe what we want to see in the house of God is a training ground that every one of us here, we are strengthened in the spiritual, that we are growing in godliness, that the house of God will be like God. Amen. That's what I want to see. What I don't want to see is people turning away from the faith because of poor teaching. What I want to see is people strengthening the faith because there's accountability and we're all growing in godliness. Let me say this, it's not going to happen overnight. For those who struggle to read the Bible, I promise you, unless it's the miracle of God, tomorrow you will not read the entire Bible. I know that. For those who struggle to pray, I promise you, you're not going to pray for an hour tomorrow. But I do know this, that if you are persistent and consistent and make small changes consistently, regularly, over time, you will see a change. Amen. And we can start that today. Matthew Henry, I quote him, he says, those who would be godly must train themselves to be godly. It requires a constant exercise. Amen? What we can all be. Here's my third point. Well, we need to look at the last part of this chapter, verses 12 onwards. He says, do not let anyone look down on you because of your age, you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Verse 14, do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Verse 15, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. So Timothy is a young leader. He's 30 years old. And we all know that age is relative. He's 30 years old. He's the pastor of a church in Ephesus. And Paul knows that he's young, and there were some older men and women having a go at Timothy. They didn't look up to Timothy. They were saying, "You're young. You know nothing. You should not be leading us." You know, for anyone here in Christian leadership, if you are leading someone older than you, this is an encouragement to you that you can still lead people older than you. You can. But here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. You lead and you influence people older than you by setting godly example. Set godly examples. There are at least six areas that Paul says to Timothy, work on these areas as you set an example. Speech, conduct, love, faith, purity, service. That's my third point here. Everyone in the household of God, every one of us here, we can be an example to one another. Young people, set an example to older people. Children, set an example to your parents. Parents, set an example to your children. Older people, set an example to younger people. We can all set godly examples to one another in the household of God. We can set an example with our speech, our words. We can speak to each other in gentleness. We can control our tongues. We cannot use foul language. Instead, we can speak words of faith and words of love and words of encouragement, words that build up people. We can use our speech. Number two, we can set example with our conduct, the way we conduct ourselves, you know, our actions. Francis of Assisi, one of the early church forefathers, he says this: preach the gospel at all times, use words if necessary. In other words, let your actions do the talking. Your conduct, you can set an example with your conduct. Number three, set an example with love. Let everything you do be rooted in love. So forgiving people, right, quickly is rooted in love. Extending grace is rooted in love. Being generous with our time, with our finances, with our treasures and our talents, that's rooted in love. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 16:14, let all that you do be done in love. Number four, set an example in faith. The faith here actually means trust. Trust Jesus when things are not too good. It's very easy to trust Jesus when things are good. But when things are pear-shaped, you trust Jesus. And that sets an example for those around you. That you don't run around like a headless chook, but you keep trusting Jesus no matter what season you are in, the good times and the bad times. That's faith. Set an example with your faith. Someone comes to you and they're looking for work, pull them aside. Pray with them and trust and believe that God has got this. That's how you set an example with faith. Set an example with purity. Purity. This means our thoughts, our desires, our actions. Make sure it's pure. This requires self-control. You know, make sure it's pure. Sometimes when you're out with people and you're having a glass of wine, self-control. Be pure. Don't get too carried away. Don't drink to the point you get drunk. Set good example. And then finally, your service. Because he says to Timothy, Timothy, you've got a gift in teaching and preaching. Do not neglect your gift. Use it. You notice in verse 15, go to verse 15, he says, that everyone may see your, what? Your progress. You notice that? What he's saying is this, is that when you serve the Lord with the gift that God has given to you, there must be a progress in the way you serve the Lord, which means you have to grow in your service. It means that there has to be excellence. Every one of us here is given a gift, whether it's singing, whether it's pastoral care, whether it's teaching or preaching. Don't just go, well, I've got that gift and I'm going to take it easy. You got to keep working on it. You got to keep mastering that craft. You got to keep growing. As a preacher, I've got to keep growing year in, year out. You've got to make sure people see there's a progress in the way you do your work. What can we all be here? We can all be an example to one another. Amen. Every single one of us. If we want to see changes in the household of God, if we want to see changes in this church here, let me say this. Sometimes the change starts with you. You can set the example for that change. If you want to see more kindness in this church here, you can start being kind. Is that right? If you want to see more acceptance in this church, where we're a church where we embrace everyone and we accept everyone, you set an example with acceptance. If you want to see more grace, more forgiveness in this church, in this household, you can set an example with grace and love. You get my point, right? Some of the changes we want to see in the household of God here, instead of being a critic and saying, oh, Pastor Ben, I wish we were like this, and I want to see this, I want to say, great! You can set an example, and you can model that to the people around you. And then it begins to spread, and it becomes contagious. Does that make sense? We can all be an example to one another. Paul once wrote this in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. If every one of us here follow Christ's example and we model that well, this whole place here, the household of God, will follow the example of Christ. So those 3 points again. What we don't want to see, what we don't want to see is people turning away from the faith because of poor teaching, the teaching of the world coming into the household of God. What do we want to see? We want to see this place as a training ground into godliness, that every one of us here see the importance of the spiritual, not just the physical, but the spiritual as well, because it's beneficial in this life and the life to come. And what can we all be? We can all be examples to one another. I guarantee you, when we keep those things close to heart and begin to work on those things, this place here will be a wonderful place. Amen? Amen. Let me pray. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for your word as always. Your word is so alive, so relevant. Thank you for reminding us. I just pray, God, that we are not just hearers, but there are areas that you have spoken to us through your word that we will work on. We will make the commitment to see changes, small changes, and be faithful to those changes, be persistent, consistent. Lord, we want to grow as people in your household. So I pray for this community here. I pray for anyone. In fact, I'm going to just do something which I didn't plan to do. All eyes closed. Maybe in the teaching of God's word this morning, there are some of you where you feel that, yeah, you have placed too much of an emphasis on the physical, and you want to really work on your spiritual. It's true that you don't just cruise into sanctification. You've got to work on it. You've got to want to grow in it. And it requires time. Time to be with God. Time to be in prayer. Time to be in His Word. And that's how you're going to grow in godliness. So I'm going to pray for anyone here this morning that you feel that, Pastor, can you pray for me? Can you include me in your prayers? Because I really want to work on that area of my life. Yeah, I want to pray for you. And I want to believe with you that for the second half of this year, you will grow. You will grow in godliness. You will grow in being more like Jesus. Yeah. So, all eyes closed. If that's you, can you just raise your hands right now? Because I want to pray. Thank you. Thank you. Yep, thank you. Yep. Anyone else? I just want to know who I'm, yep, I just want to see and know who I'm praying for. Anyone else? Thank you. Yep, thank you. Anyone else? Yep. So good. Let me pray for you right now. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters who've raised up their hands and said, yeah, they need help. They need more of your Spirit to help them. So I pray right now that you would just give them a desire to grow in the intimacy with you, grow in spending time with you, grow in godliness. I pray for discipline. I pray, God, that they are motivated to find time in your presence to enjoy you, to enjoy your word. And Lord, I just pray that from now to the end of the year, God, they will make these small changes, Lord, these small intentional changes, and there will be such beautiful results, God, that they will grow the inner man, they will grow the inner person, they will see themselves more like Jesus from now to the end of the year. So Lord, I pray for them. You know those who've raised their hands, you know those who want to make the commitment to see change. So I pray, God, Holy Spirit, that you would do that change in their hearts, in their life, Lord, immediately. As of tomorrow, there's a desire to be in your word, a desire to pray more, a desire to journal, a desire to read your word, a desire to be in a small group, a desire to serve and just really be part of this community here so that they can grow in your ways, grow to be better husband, better wives, better father, better mother, better children, better followers of Jesus. And I just pray for that, God. Would you bless all those who've made that commitment this day? Lord, I also pray for this church here that we will forever teach your word, that we'll be true to scripture, that we'll be a Bible teaching word, a church saturated with the word of God. Help us, Lord, to keep teaching your word well, and that no one will turn away from the faith, but rather we'll all be strengthened in the faith, being more and more like Jesus every day. And I also pray that every one of us here, Lord, that we can be godly examples to one another, that we can all model what it means like to follow Christ. And this place here just becomes a place that's so contagious that everyone here, yeah, we're pursuing Jesus more and more each day. Will you bless Sun Life Church? Thank you so much for the last 5 months. We are at the halfway mark. Remind us, Lord, that there's more work to be done. There are more people to be saved. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes fixed upon you. Yeah, Lord, bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.